Hello, everyone. This is Anne Evanston, powered by Warriorpreneur, and you are at the Badassery Business Telesummit. I have to tell you that I am thrilled and excited that you are here and you're listening in and you're taking advantage of a fun and unique way of learning about your business and business success. I, in 18 years being self-employed, have learned that being successful in business is way more than just the how-tos. It's the what's and the whys and the stuff that can get in the way of success sometimes. And so I wanted to bring a holistic approach that wasn't just powerful how-tos from people I really admire and believe in, also from people who take different perspectives in life. And you might find a hiccup that's stopping you from getting to that next level of success that you have. One of the things that I frequently say to all of my clients is that I want you to start to think of yourself as a 10 right now, all right? Be a 10 and then raise the bar and be a 10 again. And if you can start to think like that, you'll start to see how you already have success and how you can get to the next level of success in what we're doing. Just a reminder that if you are listening in, to please use the hashtag Badassery Summit on all of your social media. Yes, even LinkedIn and Periscope and Pinterest and Facebook. You can hashtag now. Twitter originally started it. The hashtag allows me to filter through later, see things that you said or comments that you shared. So we appreciate you using the hashtag Badassery Summit if you share information as you're listening and learning with us. Or if you even have questions or comments that pop up during our time on these many calls, we'd love to have them that way as well. I want to jump in now and share with you our guest today, somebody who I love and adore and have known for a very long time, and we'll jump into her juicy goodness and work, and then at the end, I'm going to share with you a little insight or tip related to this and what it's meant to me to personally learn about this in my life, maybe even a crazy story that you'll relate to. Today's featured speaker is Carrie Hargraves, and she really is a happiness expert, and her mission is to increase greater happiness in the world. Go figure. Why be a small business owner if you're not going to be happy, right? So we're going to talk about happiness and how it's contagious and how happiness can help us truly increase our success over time in our business and in our lives, because it's a holistic thing to me if you are a heart-centered entrepreneur and really want to grow with your success. Good afternoon from California, Carrie.
Good afternoon.
I'm thrilled that you're here with us today and going to spend some time talking about play. Just so all of you listening in know, I've asked all my presenters to give me some questions. My hope, though, is that rather than us having a monologue, Carrie and I will really have a dialogue. And like I said, if you share something via the hashtag on Twitter, I will for sure see it. I have my Twitter stream up and running so that I'll be able to see that stream if something comes in that we can share and comment together with. So we are looking forward to that. So Carrie, I want to start with a big old overall thing. You say you're a happiness expert, and then you say that play is really important. So why is it important that adults play?
Well, adults need to play to exercise skills that they learned as kids. Excuse me, clear my throat. Kids play, and it's their job. And in play, they learn a lot of the things necessary to succeed in life. They learn things you wouldn't expect. They learn leadership and innovation and creativity and perseverance and determination, imagination, all kinds of things that are really critical to being a successful adult and for being a successful business owner. But just like muscles, if you run and jump and play as a kid and then you just sit on your butt for the rest of your life, your muscles atrophy. Same with those skills that you learn as a kid. If you don't keep playing, those skills atrophy. You lose your creativity. You lose your innovation. You lose your ability to negotiate. You may not realize it, but you really do. So it's critical that we keep playing so that we can keep all of those childhood developed skills sharp and at our fingertips.
So it was interesting to me that you said it's a kid's job to play. So is part of the challenge or problem for us as adults that we don't make it part of our job to play?
Right.
Okay.
As adults, we are inclined to think that play is something relegated to weekends or vacations or something you don't do at all because it's just too damn childish. So it should be actually a part of our life, not something specific we do, but the way we go about doing everything we do.
So that must be related to this next question that you've asked of me, which is to ask you, which is, what does living playfully mean? So what do you really mean by that?
What I mean is, it's a mindset to keep your mind open to the joy in life, the happy accident, to look at things from the positive side, not just glass half empty, glass half full, but fill that glass up and drink it down and fill it again. It's embracing your humor, using your laugh full out, and not worry if people look at you funny. As a matter of fact, being seen, being playful, is actually a public service. When you spread a smile, you never know how you're going to change somebody's life.
Okay, so I'm hearing that in your very serious tone about play right now.
Oh, I'm in my head. Let me get out of there.
So I'm hearing that, and I'm thinking about me, the solopreneur, the small business owner who gets up at some point during his or her day and knows that intellectually in her head she's got to get a landing page up for a webinar that she's doing, or a telesummit, or a live event, and she's determined that she's going to use that optimized press program that she's bought a year ago, I get on technology, and I got to get the shit done. Yes, and those of you who know me know I swear you'll just get over it, right? I got to get the shit done, and technology's getting in the way, and I'm struggling with it, and it's not going right, and my internet craps out, or whatever else may happen on a normal old entrepreneurial kind of day of just trying to get some shit done that I need to get done. What do I do in that moment? What would you recommend?
Get up from the computer, walk outside, take off your shoes, and play in the dirt. You really do need to take a break, particularly when frustrations are building, because you're not clear. You're focused more on the frustrations than the task at hand. And taking a break, anywhere from 5 minutes to 20 minutes, doing something that's just plain fun, you can come back to that task that's been making you crazy, and you will actually be more productive, be able to see your way through the problems more easily, and more than make up the time you think you wasted by going out and just smelling the flowers or making a mud pie or just standing barefoot in the grass.
So that's interesting to me, because I would say that a lot of us probably take breaks. We think to ourselves, oh, I'm frustrated, I'm overwhelmed, just walk away. But we probably walk away and we go do something else. We either work on another project, or maybe we turn on the stupid old news, or we again do adult things, right? Instead of go dance in the rain if it's raining, or throw a snowball if it's snowing, or, you know, those of us who live in sunny California, dig in the dirt or, right, wiggle our toes in the grass for 5 minutes. So what I'm hearing you saying is that ability to take even 5 minutes and just step back into the job of your child and play for 5 minutes, do something silly and fun, will actually bring you back, and you'll be a better problem solver, you'll be better focused, you'll probably see something you didn't see, those kind of things will start to happen.
That is absolutely correct. Even if you don't leave your office, you just stand up out of your chair, put on some tune that you really like, and shake your butt and wave your arms around and jump up and down and sing off key.
Okay, good. I like that.
Amazing productivity tool.
Okay, good. I love that. I think that a lot of us, as you said, forget to do that kind of stuff. You know, again, entrepreneurs, how many of you, you know, turn on your music in the background to inspire you when you got to get that shit done that you don't necessarily like to get done, right? You turn on the music in the background, yet you don't really blast the music really loud and, you know, shake your butt and wave your arms and sing the words loud and out of tune. That's a different mindset to be able to go to and to be a bit silly and playful with it. And I like that kind of thinking. That's a very powerful one. And I know, I'm jumping a little bit from your questions. I know that there's a ton of research on this, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So this isn't something you're just making up because you like to play.
Well, it may have started out that way, but then I started researching it and discovered that there's a ton of scientific research. There are books, there are scholarly tomes, at whatever level you want to dive in. There's a lot backing up the fact that playfulness, putting play into your life, deliberately taking a break and doing something goofy will improve your productivity, improve the output of your product.
Yeah. Okay, good. And I'm going to guess, because you're a happiness expert, that if you do that, you are happier too overall.
Absolutely.
Right. Okay. So let me ask you another interesting question. Will living playfully, that seems to be your phrase, so maybe we need to even define more what living playfully is first. So let me ask that question. What does it mean to live playfully then? Is it what we're just talking about here, or what do you really mean by that?
It's a great deal of what we're just talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
It's an awareness of the opportunities for joy in every moment. It's making the playful choice. If you have the opportunity to do the task in pencil or in colored crayons, do it in colored crayons.
Mm-hmm.
Or just different colored pens. It's putting on clothes that make you happy in the morning before you sit down at the desk instead of just, unless it's the same old sweats that you love, and those make you happy. It's making the playful choices. If it's A is boring and B is a little bit off, take B. It's a little bit off. It'll push you out of your comfort zone, and that's where creation happens.
All right. A couple things that I heard you say, I don't know if listeners are picking up on a couple of these things. The joy in every moment. So, like, I love the thing of pens. I have a passion for creative, intuitive type entrepreneurs, and I should probably just take a picture of my office and tweet it to the hashtag, because I adore colored Sharpies.
Yeah.
Right? I adore them. I love them. I buy the big packs. As a matter of fact, every time I go into Staples, I get a little bit high because Sharpies knows exactly how to market to me. You know, they'll do something. They got me here this last month because the new limited edition was Electro Pop.
I've got them. I love them.
Right? I needed the Electro Pop pens, whatever that means, you know. But I had to have the Electro Pop pens. You know, I have lots of different colored Post-its, not just your traditional Post-its. I love that they come in different colors and I use them. Those kind of things to make a playful choice. I loved what you said about dress. I'm a big fan of dressing fun, also dressing sexy. For me, that's the grown-up playful in me. So, even in my office, ladies, I get a little dressed up going in terms of some of that, right? And what's happening with that. So, how do you make a choice that lightens up your life in some way is a big part of what I'm hearing you saying in living playfully every day.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Wear a tiara while you're doing the dishes.
Ooh.
It seems goofy, but it will change your feeling while you're doing the dishes.
Mm-hmm.
A feather boa can do wonders for a bad mood.
Yeah. And, okay, so here's another part that's interesting to me in talking about this is that I think a lot of us, I think you do too, really take what we do seriously. I mean, we believe that we are serving the world in some way. We have a greater message or calling, that we're out to help people change their lives in some way. We really take what we do seriously. So how do you fit what you're saying into that kind of thought process for people?
Well, that's interesting. You think about going through your day-to-day tasks out and about in the world, and you go into the grocery store and you have a choice of two lines. The clerk in one line, grumpy, frowning, snapping at the customers. The clerk on the other line is happy, smiling, friendly. Which line do you want to get in? You have a choice between, say, insurance agents, and you have one that's sour and serious and furrow-browed, and another one that's smiling and encouraging. Which one are you going to do business with? Chances are you're going to do business with the one that you like better, and you're going to like the one who's smiling and friendly and open. So there's actually even a competitive advantage in being happy and living playfully. You draw people to you that are the same way.
Right.
Who doesn't want to work with people like that?
Right. And I would take it a step further with my psychology background and say that it's not about just putting on the happy face, because energetically people can feel a fake happy face.
Absolutely.
Right. So we might not be able to put our finger on exactly what it is, but there's something that deters us from a person who is just putting the smile on, being pleasant, being happy, doing all the right things, if you will. There's still something we feel or sense from them.
Yes.
And this ability to live playfully means that I increase my authenticity, and I'm energetically more attractive to people.
Perfectly said. I'm going to steal that.
Okay, you can steal that. I'll let you. in terms of that. So one of your questions, which we may have answered or not, yet I'll ask you to expand on it and think about other things that you can share to people related to this, is how can living with a playful mindset then improve your business overall? Besides just being able to get through your day and the chores you need to do, how can it overall improve your business?
Well, it does help you get through the day. And I think I mentioned that it also has the tendency to improve the quality of your work. They've proven this with doctors, amazingly enough, that doctors who are happier, approach their job from a more playful mindset, make significantly more accurate diagnoses. Nurses who are happier, particularly in ICU units, have a much lower mortality rate with their patients. And if doctors and nurses have this effect, imagine what it is for us entrepreneurial types. It really, it informs the product in ways that are not necessarily overtly obvious, but people can feel it energetically, which when you put your fingers to the keyboard to write, you're transferring energy, and if you're doing it from a positive, playful mindset, it comes through.
Right.
And if you're just slogging along, going, oh, God, I've got to get this thing up, that also comes through.
Right. Okay, so I'm going to ask you to tell me a story because you're being pretty matter-of-fact here and you have about 25 minutes to share. So I am going to ask you then, can you share with me and our listeners a story for yourself about a time when maybe, I don't know, you forgot to play as an entrepreneur, small business owner, or, you know, a story when you figured it out, I don't know, some kind of story that for you personally about where this really connected for you?
Oh, yeah. I was a corporate drone for quite a long time, and it started out playfully enough, but the further up the ladder I went, the less delighted I was with my career choice. And it would manifest itself in the fact that I get laid off on a fairly regular basis.
Uh-huh.
Tended to go into startups and, excuse me, things would go swimmingly, and then pretty soon we'd get acquired, and the first lie always is nothing's going to change, and of course it did, and then I would get resentful and crabby, and then I would get fired. I started my own business, an unlikely one. I bought 150 pink plastic flamingos, and I started vandalizing people's front yards. Oh, my God. How much fun was that?
So I'm going to interrupt your story for a second. What made you decide, though, from being this very serious corporate woman with, you know, quote-unquote real jobs? How many of us entrepreneurs have heard that before? You know, when we decide to go out on our own, everybody says, well, what's going to be your real job, right? To going just 180 degrees different and buying your flamingo business. What? How did that just happen for you? Was it really just a whim?
Pretty much. I was sitting in commute traffic driving out to a consulting job I was doing, and I was listening to the radio. The man being interviewed was talking about pink plastic flamingos and all of the strange things people do with them. And they send him pictures of them on wedding cakes, pictures of them on vacation, pictures of them in costumes. And one phrase, there are even people who rent them by the flock. And that went into my head like a worm and would not leave. By the time I got to my consulting job, I ran in the door and went, I need a phone. And I started off a series of phone calls to figure out what this was. I couldn't let it go. I was on fire. I found out who was doing it, and they were in Chicago. And I called them, and I made a colossal pain in the ass of myself. Until they finally agreed, if I would fly back, they would teach me the business, set me up with a starter pack, and that's how I ended up in the flamingo planting business. It went into my head, and I couldn't not do it.
Okay. So bringing that full circle then, if that's how you kind of removed yourself from something that wasn't fun or playful for you, i.e. the corporate job, and this became the fun thing, which isn't what you do primarily in your business anymore, correct?
That's correct. I've moved on from flamingos. After 16 years, I decided I wanted to sleep through the night again.
Oh, that's true. You do have to do that in the middle of the night. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. If you're not a night person, I could see how that would be the wrong business long term, right? What am I wanting to say? I'm trying to see how, I think most of us, again, let me take the story a step further. I think most of us, again, start our businesses because in our mind, what we want to do in the world is fun to us. So just like starting the flamingo business, it seemed very fun to you. You were excited. You were energized. Were there times in that 16 years that you had things you had to do that weren't necessarily fun? I mean, I'm guessing at the beginning, getting up in the middle of the night and planting all these flamingos in somebody's yard was fun. I know eventually you said it didn't. You wanted to live a lifestyle and values changed for yourself some. But were there other things with the business that weren't necessarily fun that you found you had to integrate play into?
Yes, I got into it, but I had absolutely no idea how to run a business. Mm-hmm. And learning how to do that, assuming I ever did learn how to do that for mm-hmm. the flamingo business, had its moments where, like, oh my God, do I really have to figure out how to market this somehow? And it was like, well, the phone rings and somebody goes, I want to play a trick on a friend. And we get into the fun of setting it up. What are they going to put on the sign? And by the time those conversations were over, I was back in the groove. And it would carry me through the less than delightful tasks. Mm-hmm. And then other times it was just a matter of, well, I have to do this. What am I going to do to make it easier, faster, more fun? I'm a bit of a computer geek, so if I could come up with a spreadsheet or a computer program that would help, that would be both productive and a distraction. Mm-hmm. Because I think those kinds of things are fun. Sick, I know.
I'm a true creative entrepreneur. I don't understand spreadsheets. Send me the pretty pie chart after it's all done, or the graph. Yes, okay. In terms of that. All right, so then what happened for you to, values changed, I'm guessing. When you decided to leave the flamingo business, did you just know you were going to teach people how to play?
I had no idea what I was going to do next.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, you're partially responsible for this.
Uh-oh.
I met you at a networking event a bazillion years ago when I was still in the flamingo business, but I was mm-hmm. also a custom sign maker.
Mm.
My dilemma was, when I walk into a networking event, who am I? Which one am I going to market?
Mm.
So I asked you, who I learned that day at the winery, well, I was marketing person. I said, how? And your advice, which at the time I could have killed you for, but now I thank you, was figure out what's the umbrella and market that.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to think on that actually for a couple of years to realize that the umbrella was both of those businesses for me were fun. They were play. They made me happy, and they made my customers happy. And mm-hmm. that became my exploration of the general theme of play. And looking back over my life, I see been there all along.
Mm-hmm.
And then I discovered there was actually scientific evidence for it being a good thing, and I went, yay,
mm-hmm.
I have a new toy.
Mm. Yeah, that's really interesting to me, too, because I bet there are lots of entrepreneurs that are, your story is familiar, they are sick and tired of corporate America, they're tired of the bullshit there, they're tired of the politics there, they want to get out and do something different, so they grab on to something that in the moment seems right, and figuring out that piece of who they really are and what is that umbrella. I still say that to people. You've probably heard me say it to people over the years.
I have, recently even.
Yeah. You know, what is the umbrella? Figuring out that umbrella, and when you find it related to your values, which is what Carrie just said, to know that for her, her values are fun and play and happy, and how does that override every little part or component of the business that you do, you'll probably have greater success in your work too. The other thing that's really interesting to me about this is that, you know, you brought up wearing the tiara while you do dishes. You know, I know some people who love to do dishes because it's actually a project they can start and finish with satisfaction, right? Yet, if you're like me, the older I get, the less I like to do dishes. Learning a way to make it fun makes sense. And you might be thinking to yourself, what does that have to do with business success? Well, it becomes a circular argument, if you will, in that if you're unhappy in your personal life, if you don't have fun and play in your personal life, you get up in the morning with that same energy.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you have to be able to find that. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't things that aren't serious and aren't important and aren't that we have to handle, you know, in certain ways like that. Please don't get me wrong. I think that Carrie would agree. There are very important things that we take seriously in terms of what we're doing. We're just saying adding the component of play increases your ability to have greater success for yourself.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
And staying aware of the opportunity, even in the midst of the serious stuff, staying aware that this is only temporary, and you can get up and walk away and have a little dance or stand in the grass and come back, and the serious thing will still be there for you to do, but you come back to it with renewed energy.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because a story pops in for me related to this. This was many years ago in my business. You know, I'm 18 years a business owner, and I I'm pretty much pre-internet. Yeah, the internet was around, don't get me wrong, but it wasn't like it is now, and a lot of people don't understand that. I couldn't have a website where I could just go into a page and edit copy on my own. I had to have somebody who knew code. I didn't even put my first website up until 2001, and that website cost me almost as much as my newest one, and that's because I hired a really, 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 really hot designer, which you guys are going to learn from tomorrow, about why design is so important in your business, the visual design of your business. But everything you saved on your computer, you saved everything on your computer. That's just where the world was back in the late 90s and early 2000s when I started my business. And I got up one morning with a ton to do. Some of you know I first started my business marketing mostly as a speaker. I used to travel the globe and speak. And that was, you know, the primary way of my doing business. And I would get online and have to follow through with, you know, customization of a program or a topic that I would give. And that I, you know, just all of those things for me that I would have to do online, or I'd have to work on course material that I had custom designed, or presentation, all that stuff was saved on my computer. That's where you saved everything back then. And there's one morning that I got up and I had the blue screen of death.
Ah.
Yes, the blue screen of death. Which, if you've ever had the blue screen of death,
too many times to tell you.
it's like if you've ever had your car stolen from in front of your house, and you like walk out to where you parked your car, and then you turn around and walk back in your house because you're like, no, this cannot be happening. My car is right there, right? I'm having a dream right now. It just cannot be happening, right? And so, same kind of thing. You shut down the computer because they're possibly, you cannot be seeing a blue screen of death, right? And then you realize you're seeing the blue screen of death, and there's nothing you can do. And I remember it was in late March, early April on this particular year that it happened, and my husband was not employed at the time and working. And you know, we immediately go into super serious mode of, now I've got to find somebody who maybe can extract my life. It's my life, people. Do you understand where I'm going? Off of this computer. And it's the middle of the week. It's like a Tuesday or Wednesday, so we're making some calls. You know, people are saying, bring it down. We're not sure what we can do. And I'm just completely overwhelmed. And I looked at my husband, and I said, you know what? Screw it. You are driving me to Mom in Napa. For those of you who know, I live about 25 minutes from the Napa area, wine country. I said, you are driving me to Mom in Napa, and we are having a glass of champagne. It was a beautiful, sunny spring day, right? All the mustard's out, little bit of bud bloom starting. And we went to Mom and got a glass of champagne, and they put these coasters out. And I pulled the coaster. That's it, tapping on my desk. I pulled the coaster out. I flipped the coaster over. What did I drink? Oh, I got a Mom Cuvée M. If any of you are wondering, that's their red bubble, because that's on one side, so you know which one you drank. And on the back it says, in the little moment that remains to us between the crisis and the catastrophe, may we all drink a glass of champagne.
Perfect.
I know, right? And I just busted out laughing. I think, though, in many ways, that's part of your point in what you're sharing here, is how do you start to find lightness when it feels dark? How do you reconnect in a way that reminds you that, you know, there is a new day, there is a start over with that?
Absolutely, yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm also pretty famous for saying, if we weren't meant to keep trying again, days would be like 1,000 hours. But they're only 24.
Thank God.
You know, we're meant to start over. We get 24 and then we start over again, right? In terms of that. Yeah, absolutely. So I want to ask you another question that could really relate to business owner success and living more playfully, having more happiness overall in their lives. And that's, how does this relate to our childhood dreams? You know, rewinding for many of us 40, 50 years ago, 30 for some, maybe 20 for others, maybe on this call. How does our childhood dreams and delights and interests relate to all of this?
I discovered really interesting when I started doing my workshops, and that is, a lot of people cannot remember their childhood dreams. They don't remember their delights and interests or their plans. When they start doing the work to dig back and recapture them, many times what they discover is they have stumbled onto something that isn't in alignment with those that they didn't even realize they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
Others discover that they have gone so far off track from what has made them happy in the past that they have no idea how they got there. Sometimes doing that work to rediscover what made us happy in childhood will change careers. You realize, oh my God, why am I doing this when I wanted to do that, and that spirit still draws me? So it's both productive, and it can be a little bit scary and dangerous if you're afraid of change. Change is my middle name, so I embrace it. I'm not afraid of it, but other people are a little bit leery about stepping into a space that could throw their lives into a cocked hat. That doesn't describe most entrepreneurs, but some. And buried in those dreams can be things we want to take up again, new hobbies, new interests. We could build new hobbies, or not hobbies, new businesses from the things that we used to love as children. Mm-hmm. I have a favorite movie. It's not very popular. It's called The Kid with Bruce Willis.
Mm-hmm.
And the theme of that movie is that this very successful, very serious 40-year-old man meets his 8-year-old self and discovers that he's lost himself. He wanted to be somebody other than who he grew up to be, but he didn't even realize it. And once he realized it, he had the tools to redirect his life to become happy again.
Cool.
So that can be buried in those childhood dreams, is the opportunity to get back to a happier self.
Right. You know, it's interesting, as you were talking, what popped into my head, and I don't know if this popped into listeners' heads as well, that initially when I think back to, you know, you asked that question of, can you remember the childhood dream? Well, many will be quick to say, yes, I remember what the childhood dream was. I was quick as you said that. And then I realized, oh, wait a minute, what I'm thinking about right there really isn't my childhood dream. It was my family's childhood dream that was imprinted on me, right? So the, you should be a doctor, you should be a lawyer, you're, you know, great at, you know, what they thought I was supposed to be versus what I, right, had interest in or dreamed about or felt called or compelled to do, if you will.
What did you pretend to do or pretend to be when you were little?
Right. And what's funny is that it might not even be pretend to be, because I definitely played doctor, and my whole family thought I was going to be a doctor growing up. I have a master's degree in psychology, and some of them still think I should get my PhD in psychology. I don't think I need it for the work I do. I think my master's degree is enough. But what I realized as I was listening to you talk about that is that I did have a point in my adult life where it wasn't necessarily what I liked to do, you know, like if I thought about games I played or activities, there were just overall things that made me really, really happy. I love helping people who are stuck. And even when I was a kid, I was the one at the playground when somebody was stuck or struggling, wanted to help them figure out how to not be stuck anymore, right? So if they're trying to get across the monkey bars, I was the one who would, you know, motivate, inspire, and get them across the monkey bars and cheer them on, you know. I love to talk. Go figure. You know, I'm a talker. I'd rather talk about things and have stories to tell and do those kind of things. And if I go back, again, I was that kid. I was the kid on the playground that would organize stuff and get people sitting down, and I would talk to them. You know, there were just things like that I start to go, oh, that's how I've integrated that childhood dream and delights and interests into my life, yeah. Right? Yeah. So very
reasons why you're happy in what you do.
Yes, I am all the time, and I feel blessed every day that I get up to get to do it. And honestly, knowing that and having that aligned that it is who I am, not just what I do, makes some of the bits that aren't as fun easier to deal with.
Yes.
And not that I don't have now in my career a team and people I delegate things to and people that handle things and follow up and keep me organized as creative and stuff that I'm not as good at, per se, if you will. But even in the beginning when I couldn't afford to do that, it made it easier to deal with that stuff because I was aligned with my child, with my kid. Yeah. Okay, cool. So I want to ask you a question, and then we'll share what your gift is, too, that you have on the page, and remind people how to go back and get that. I want to ask you, as an entrepreneur, what has been your biggest obstacle to overcome, and what a tip or advice would you give to others listening?
My biggest obstacle to overcome was standing in the value of what I do. There are a lot of judgments, adult judgments, about happiness and playfulness in particular, particularly for an adult. And I had to deal with my own judgments about that. I mean, can being playful really be a career path? Would people be willing to pay me for this?
Mm-hmm.
I discovered they were, but I kept backing down on my price because I didn't think that people would pay me that much. Mm-hmm. I was wrong. I have a really, truly excellent coach, thank you very much, who kept kicking my ass until I realized she was right. But, yeah, owning my value and the value of the work that I do has been my biggest obstacle.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so overcoming it for you, was there a breakthrough for you? Was there something that happened? Is there something you would tell the group listening then?
My breakthrough was a great deal of self-analysis. Plus, I did the work and not make any money. But I could see the effect on the people that came and worked with me. I still do, even people who managed to get a free ticket out of me and came and got to do the work for nothing. Mm-hmm. I still see the effect of the work that we did together in them. I see it on their Facebook posts. I see it in the way they're developing their businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And I came to realize it does have value.
Mm-hmm.
And it's worth it. Damn it. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. worth what I want for it. And when I finally decided to stand in that space, I began attracting people who were more serious about learning it and taking it forward and becoming the playful spirit and mm-hmm. allowing that to shine through. And therefore, we're helping spread more happiness in the world.
I love what you just said, too, because when I took my value seriously and owned the price and stepped into, you know, what I'm giving is amazing and I deserve this price point for it, that the people who show up ready to pay it are much more serious about play and happiness.
That's right.
I love that. I mean, that is like an amazingly powerful quote for many of us to start to think about because, you know, even somebody who's teaching a lightness, if you will, when people make an investment in it, they're committed, which is what you mean by much more serious. They're way more committed to what you're trying to give them in the world.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's beautiful. Okay, so I know that you have a free gift to continue this movement with people on the Badassery Telesummit. What is your free gift that you have for them?
My free gift is an ebook, 10 fuel-injected activities to release your inner child and... How ridiculous. I have forgotten the name of my ebook.
I put you on the spot. I didn't tell you I was going to ask you that question, huh?
I should know. I
you should. You're right. That's okay. I have brain farts on a regular basis. I have that you have 10 fast and fun ways to elevate your mood.
Oh, that's the old title.
You have.
Too boring.
Oh, okay, so you have a more fun title. Yeah, ultimately, what are they getting out of it? Even if you can't give me the official title, what's it really about? Why should they go grab it if they haven't already?
It's an ebook with 10 simple, quick, but really effective ways to jolt you into a more productive, happier space. Mm. It's 10 specific activities. They don't require any equipment or any investment of money. It's just
cool.
A suggestion. When you're sitting there and you're struggling with a problem on the computer or you can't stand the thought that you're going to have to scrub the toilet one more time, pick up the ebook, randomly pick an activity, and spend 2 minutes or 5 minutes or 10 minutes indulging in that, and you will return to whatever it was that you were trying to do with renewed energy and enthusiasm and a much more positive outlook on the whole thing.
Beautiful. And I love that. So no money, no caffeine or sugar required.
That's right. wine is always nice, but it's not required.
Yes, and as you know, for some of these calls that are later in the day, for me there may be a glass of wine involved.
It's 10 fuel-injected activities to feel brand new and release your inner child.
There we go. Okay, beautiful. So go grab that from her. Those of you who are listening, it's on the same page that you learned the time for this call. It's that password-protected page. Look for my emails that I have sent you regarding that. And you'll see if you scroll down, actually Carrie's pretty close to the top, I think. You'll see her free gift. You can click and get that from her. It's just a way to continue to look at this, accelerate it for yourself, and really step into greater happiness and joy in your life and how to spread it a little bit with other people. I think that's fabulous. I am, in wrapping up our time together, I want to share some Anne Evanston wisdom. All of the speakers know that I'm going to do this. At some point, since this is the first call in the series, there may be a surprise session that's just with me doing some crazy training. It will be announced, so watch your email. As it comes up, then you'll have that opportunity, plus the 24-hour playback that you can listen to within the site. I want, though, because my background is psychology and I really believe in how we create business success is much more of a holistic report, holistic viewpoint than just a microcosm of we've got to get these certain things done and we'll have success. And related to this piece and happiness around what you do, I've been meaning to position this and write it for a little while now, but I am a huge reader of energy. And many of you may be too and not even consciously aware that you read energy well. I tell people all the time, just go on and read your Facebook stream. And pay attention not to the words, but how what feeling comes through the words for you. And a lot of times, you know, the post will be sunshine and unicorns and happy dances and my life is great and praise the Lord. And you read it and it feels heavy and it feels lonely and it feels sad and it feels depressed. And that's energy that is transferring from their fingers through the keyboard, right, and out into the work that they do. So one of the things that I think is really important in terms of increasing happiness and joy in the world and being happier and attracting people to you more is to think about that. Because if you have to do some marketing or some writing in your business and you're not in the mood, and you're like, damn it, I just have to get it done anyway, and you write it, energetically, that's what you're transferring. So to take what Carrie's sharing with you and start to think to yourself, ah, you know what, I need to go get one of these play activities. I need to lighten my energy. I need to feel fresh and bright. You need to send that. Unless your intention in the copy is to make people feel sad, lonely, and depressed. You know, if that's your intention, great. Yet for most times it's not. That's not what we intend to do. And the funny thing for me with this is that I have millionaire business owners that work with me. They're private clients that have worked with me for years. And I tend to follow and watch millionaire business owners because I want to see what they're up to and what they're really up to. And there's a particular millionaire business owner that every time I'd get this person emails, I would just be depressed. And I thought, that's weird. You know, what's going on for me? I'm, you know, is there something about this person that I'm, you know, meant to work with them? Is there, what is it? What is it? And then I had dinner with a friend who knows this person personally, and she said, this person hates their life and their job. They hate what they do. And they're making a lot of money, and they don't know how to get out of that wheelhouse that they're in now that they hate. And I thought, now that's starting to explain what I'm feeling, right? And this person's still a million-dollar business owner, so I'm still following their stuff and getting their emails, and I'm reading them, and I'm like, oh, with this energy, right? And I don't like the energy that I feel when I read this person's stuff. And I then had a conversation with somebody who watched this person on stage tear somebody down on stage, an audience participant tear them down on stage to the point of crying. And let her go, and then basically told the audience, if you hire me, I can build you back up.
Yeah.
And in that moment of telling that story, I knew that I needed to release that in my life. And I want you to think about that for yourself in terms of happiness. So I unsubscribed from all this person's stuff. I disconnected, unfriended, unfollowed, whatever the is these days in social media, right? And I let that energy go. I released the energy. And I think we have to be aware of that if you want a happy, more joyful life, that if something is weighing on you, and you're feeling an obligation. Yeah, but this person's a million-dollar business owner. That's who I should learn from. Yeah, but this, right? this is the leader in my industry. Yeah, but if you're putting yeah, but-itis on it, question that for yourself and be willing to release and let it go and find things that bring you joy. Find things that make you smile. Find things that when you read it, it lightens up your energy in post. It makes you laugh. It, as my clients like to say, kicks you in the ass in a good way and makes you chuckle, right? Which tends to be my style. Find those things for yourself and surround yourself with it. The job of being an entrepreneur is hard enough without surrounding yourself with energy that isn't light, that isn't fun, that isn't happy, that isn't joyful. All right. So that is going to wrap up our first amazing call. Thank you, Carrie Hargraves.
Thank you, Ann Evanston.
You're welcome. I appreciate it so much. Tomorrow, we actually have two calls. We have one at 9 a.m. Pacific time, which is noon Eastern, which is 5 p.m. GMT. We have another one at 1 p.m. Pacific time, which is 4 Eastern, which is 9 p.m. GMT. And Tatiana Alcori is the first one, and Victoria Gallagher is the second one. Tatiana, I highly encourage you all to come listen to, just like Carrie. She is my goddess of the visual story of your message. And why it matters. Huge wake-up call for me in my life, and cannot recommend her enough. She's killer at it, and has done some killer work with some really high-end people, which I'm sure that will be part of her story tomorrow. And then tomorrow afternoon, I'm very excited to present to you Victoria Gallagher. Victoria and I actually went to high school together. We sang in swing choir together. We're both successful business owners, and she is going to really talk about magnetism to attract clients. Her specialty is hypnotherapy. She has a very successful hypnotherapy business with downloads and all of that. So she's going to talk to us about that tomorrow. So I'm looking forward to that in our sessions. Remember, you can always log into that password protected page, get all the goodness that you need. Feel free to tweet or Facebook or share with others what you're learning. We love that when you share. And have a great start to your week. Thank you, everybody. Bye-bye now.